Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." In 1986, Robert Fulghum wrote a book that he described as containing some of his uncommon thoughts on uncommon things. In the book, he included a credo for him to live by, to have what he described as a meaningful life, and he suggested that others might consider living by his credo as well. He titled the credo, which then became the title of his book, "All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." Many of you remember that book and perhaps have read it, at least his credo contained in chapter 1, which starts out like this: share everything, play fair, don't hit people, put things back where you found them, clean up your own mess, don't take things that aren't yours, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody, wash your hands before you eat, flush, etc., etc. After a few more words of wisdom that he shared in his credo, each with this same kind of wisdom that I read a moment ago, he ends with this line: "When you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together." You know, that's not a bad thought. And I think I found it true in my own life as well, as I'm sure you have. In a later chapter in the book, he brings back long ago memories for me when he writes about the times of watching his neighborhood children playing a game of hide and seek. "When was the last time you played hide and seek? I can't remember when it was for me. It's been so long, 30 or 40 years maybe, or more. I just can't remember. Nathan, my son, has had a more recent adventure with hide and seek when he was writing Tim Tebow's book, Through My Eyes. During a visit to Denver to work on the book, Nathan and Tim's brothers and friends who were staying there in his house, played the game one night in a completely darkened house. Well, as I remember playing hide and seek, it seemed that there was always somebody who hid so well that we couldn't find them. And after looking and looking and looking, we often just gave up on them, gave up looking for them. And after a while, they would show up and would wonder why we quit looking for them. They wanted to be found, and we didn't find them. Didn't we care? They wondered. Or you might wonder, and we might wonder, did they really want to be found? Don't we all, though, want to be found? Whether playing hide and seek, or in our homes, or at work, or in school, or just walking through the day after day in our journey through life. Don't we all want to be found sometime by someone? Don't we want to matter? Don't we all want to feel that we are worthy enough to someone that they'll keep looking for us until they find us? I know a man who just died of cancer, and people didn't even know he had cancer. Members of his family didn't know it. Friends didn't know it. He stopped treatment for the cancer, and he just died a week ago. He was too good at hiding. He kept it a secret. Maybe he didn't want to be found. Maybe he didn't feel like he deserved to be found. Maybe he thought people wouldn't care. Maybe he didn't need them to care or want them to care. But people did care. And sadly, he never heard them say it. And they never had the chance to find him, to be with him, and to say it to him in his last moments. I wonder why that happened. The woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery in the passage of scripture we read was doing a pretty good job of hiding as well. She didn't want to be found. And if she was found, her adulterous behavior would be discovered and she would get rocks thrown at her until she stopped breathing. Hiding was her only option, not her best option. And I would guess not the one that she would have chosen for her life if she had a chance at a do-over. But then one day, as we see in the passage, she was found by the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees and brought before Jesus, not because they cared about her and not because they wanted Jesus to help her. They were all set to kill her by stoning, but they first brought her to Jesus because they wanted to trap Jesus and get him to publicly reject the law of Moses, which they were pretty sure he would do. Killing two birds with one stone, so to speak, the adulterous woman and Jesus. But in that moment of judging her and trying to trick Jesus, that precious, lost, and lonely woman was found by someone else. This time not by the Pharisees, but this time by the God of all creation. And Jesus said to the crowd that was standing there ready to stone her, "Fine. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." And she did as he said. The adulterous woman was hiding. The man that I know who just died of cancer was hiding. And like the child in the game of hide and seek, they hid so well that it was hard to find them. We do that too, though, don't we? We hide. Sure we do. We hide the real us from others. We hide things from others we don't want people to know about us. We hide things about us that we don't know how to fix. We hide things we need help with and could get help with, but we don't. We just hide. And deep down inside, we want to be found. We want someone to care, someone to help us. What do you need help with? Who is it that you know and love that you know they need help with something? What's going on in your life right now? What are you keeping inside? Why not get found? Why not stop hiding? What great looking front are you putting up for all the world to see and are hiding behind while you are dying and crying inside? Why keep faking that you're okay? Why not get found? You don't have to broadcast it to the world like the Pharisees did, but maybe there's someone out there who can help you, someone you would trust, someone who would want to find you. Why not get found? Why not face what you need to face? Why not begin to move beyond whatever is before you, whatever's troubling you and holding you down and holding you back from being all you can be, and begin to move toward the person you were created to be, and also toward the one who always knows where you are, the one who sees your every step, your every misstep, and every screw up, and loves you still the same, the one who is waiting for you to turn toward him, where you will be found once again by the one who knows you best and loves you most. By the way, do you think Jesus was just kind of wandering around unaware of that woman until the Pharisees brought her to him? And the answer, of course, is no. He knew all about her, and he found her. just like you, my friends. He knows all about you. He sees you and will find you, and then simply needs you to turn toward him. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my dear friends. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the reminder that you are always there, wanting to find us. And all we need to do is turn toward you. Help us, Lord, to put the facades away, to put the things away that keep us from being found, to reach out for help where we need it, to seek you, to seek someone's ear who we trust, where we can be found, where we can become whole, where we can begin to move toward all that you created us to be, toward the person that you want us to be, so that we can have the impact that you intended us to have and leave the legacy that only we can have that you created us to have. And the neat thing about all of that is we don't do it alone ever. You will always be with us step by step, all the way. Help us, Lord, to open up and be found. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.